אתם עם SBS בעברית.
That's right, there was 232 on board and a total of 295 internees. In total, they included some Italian and German nationals too. And they departed from Singapore on September 18, 1940 on a 7-day voyage to Sydney. The internees were sent by train to the camp in regional Victoria called Tatura, which that month had received internees from Britain aboard another famous ship called the Dunera. In 1942, the Tatura internees, and those also at Hay in New South Wales, were reclassified as friendly aliens and released. But before that, and we heard at this anniversary webinar event last week, that Professor George Fink was on board the ship as a very young child, and he remembered going to Tatura, and he said, it always amuses me that at the age of just 3 years and 10 months, that I was regarded as a danger to the state, to the country of Australia, and sent to Tatura, as were all the other people on board. Now he's a grandfather of 7. He was among the former internees and descendants that also participated in this event, including Ruth Simon and the event's organizer, Duldig Studio, whose founder and patron Eva de Jong Duldig's parents, Carl and Sloa, had arrived also on the Queen Mary. Eva, who was just 2 years old at the time, recalled her mother being terrified about having to wear a numbered sign at the camp. Descendants of the Queen Mary arrivals addressing the event also included Jewish Communal Council of Victoria President Jennifer Huppert, Jane Joseph and Rabbi Ronnie Figdor.
The thing is that all the children survived. Those that stayed in Europe didn't, or most of those that stayed in Europe didn't. And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, it's very interesting that Labor Senator Kimberly Kitching delivered a scathing assessment of bias at the United Nations.
Yeah, she did so during a Boston Global Forum United Nations 2045 roundtable event, and noting that some UN agencies do an excellent job without being politicized, Kitching, who is chair of the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade References Committee, said the same, unfortunately, could not be said for the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, otherwise known as UNESCO, as she said, which has been turned into a forum for anti-Western and anti-Israel propaganda. Kitching then turned to the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, which she said, quote, has a school curriculum and supports school textbooks which mandate that children be trained for belligerence against Israel and to take up arms against Israel. She said the last thing children need is to be taught hate. Even worse, she said, is the situation at the UN Human Rights Council, where states which notoriously abuse human rights, she said, are regularly elected to the council and often collude to protect each other from censure. And she said, the only country that is regularly condemned by this body for alleged human rights abuses is Israel, which is the only country subject to a standing agenda item at every meeting of that organization.
Shane, on a different topic altogether, more results from the community census from Gen 17.
Yes, so this is a three-part series that the Jewish News is running. This week we focused on two issues. One is that the Gen 17 and census analysis undertaken by the JCA demographer David Graham showed that the number of Jews aged in their 60s in New South Wales grew by 60% from 2006 to 2016, meaning there will be a corresponding increase in the 70s to 80s age bracket in about 5 years. But Graham said the spike will actually pass after that. So he said, we have to plan, but there's not necessarily a case to build permanent extra facilities. Another interesting point is that the survey found that with 49% of Jewish people in New South Wales born overseas, another potential issue is community members who immigrated later in life without substantial wealth and means for their retirement. So JCA CEO Elaine Hassan said once they get to the point where they can't work, who's going to support them? Noting that their children caring for them could mean less money for things like schooling their own children. Unless they came with appropriate Australian wealth, I think we will see increased demand for subsidised housing and other support services in the coming years.
We are talking to Shane Dziadnik, Senior Journalist at Australian Jewish News, and you are listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, there is a lovely story in the AJN about the flying mohel.
Yes, this is really nice. When Rabbi Yehuda Niosov was needed for a bris in the north coast of New South Wales in the town of Mullumbimby last month, he didn't want to catch a commercial flight because of the risk of catching COVID, of course. But the lucky thing for this chazan of Sydney's Central Synagogue is that one of his many talents is flying. He's actually a student pilot. So what he did was he borrowed a Piper Cherokee small aircraft from his flying school at Bankstown Aerodrome, and together with his instructor, he flew to Mullumbimby by himself. It was a gorgeous day, he said. The whole flight was absolutely stunning. I did all the flying while my instructor did the navigating. He said it took about 3.5 hours, and they stopped in Taree for a fuel stop as well. As for the bris itself, he said, I spent a lot of time talking to them beforehand. We had several video calls, so I was therefore able to perform the bris and be in and out of the house in under an hour. He said he hopes to finish his flying course and get his full license next year.
Shane, I must mention here that there is a substantial number of Israelis around Mullumbimby, around Byron Bay, in northern New South Wales, a really big community of Israelis. And as it happened, just this morning, I'm a member of a Facebook group of Israelis in around Byron Bay. And they've been approved by the state government, Chevra Kadisha, in the area of Mullumbimby and Byron Bay. And they were very happy about it because they have to look at things like burial as well in the future. So they've got a flying mohel coming, and we hope that the mohel will arrive there more often. Shane Dziadnik, I'd like to take the opportunity wishing you Chag Sukkot Sameach, and thank you so much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להזין לפודקאסטים.